About, I want to talk about rewards and inheritance we as believers will receive, one at the judgment seat of Christ and one at the millennial time reign of Christ. Oftentimes we tend to know that we're grateful to be saved. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a free gift of God, because we know man will boast, right? But when we look at the Word of God, God clearly tells us there's going to be some accountability when you're saved, right? And oftentimes we want to walk around like Happy Gilmore and say, man, I'm saved. Praise God. But let me show you the other side of the billboard. It's called accountability. It's called Christian integrity. It's called that you will be held accountable for everything that you say and you do at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says that it's appointed upon the man to die, then cometh the judgment. Now, for the people that don't believe in God, they're going to go to the great white throne. God help them. But for you as a believer, if you say you accept the Lord, you're going to go in front of the judgment seat of Christ. And also, there's going to be some suffering involved for the millennial time reign to grab those cities. And we're going to see that here. So if you would, please open up your Bible to Luke 19:17 in your left hand. In your right hand, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and with your right foot, go to Romans 8. Luke 19:17. All right. Now, when we look at Luke 19:17, we're going to be talking about an inheritance. We know it's a parable of talents, but there's also an inheritance that's going to be involved with this. And also, we're going to see that there's going to be some suffering involved. We talk about Christianity today, and I do believe we can give Christianity the black eye by what we say and what we do. Testimony is a huge thing, folks. Sometimes I have people come up to me in our ministry, and it's been growing, praise God, and I'm dealing with a lot of funerals. I'm even doing some weddings. And what I say at the weddings is, forgive them, Father, for they not know what they do. Just joking, guys. But I want you to understand that we're going to be talking about an inheritance. And there is a difference between an inheritance and rewards. An inheritance is singular. It's a piece of land. A reward is gold, silver, precious stone, right? So we have to understand that God set this up perfectly in his inerrant word to let us know that, hey, you're saved. I put my son on that cross. He imputed your sins on his account, and his righteousness is on you, and you're not going to have to spend eternity in hell where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of the teeth because you believe in him. However, here's the other side of the billboard. Now what are you doing? What are you saying? What are you participating in? Are you one that likes to run the gossip, contention, strife? I see it all the time, folks. I've preached over the last 6 months at least 12 different church houses. And I'll tell you this. Every time I go up and preach, after I'm done preaching, they say, man, you're a little bit kind of hardball. Well, the Bible says it'd be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and all long-suffering and in doctrine. The first application in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. That's Romans. The first application is doctrine. And why is that? Because that keeps you on this side of the hedge. When you're in the right doctrine, you're still going to sin, folks. We are. That's in our DNA. Can't help that. But here's what I'm going to tell you. When you're in the right doctrine, you're less prone to sin. When you start thinking in your mind, before I say this, or I hear this gossip, or I run to this, how is that going to weigh out at the judgment seat of Christ? How is it going to weigh out? Is all my rewards going to go up in smoke? Is it just going to be like the man in a house and his whole house burned down he worked all his life for, and he's running out because it's burning down? And nothing's left but stubble. So we want to look at this. Let's look at Luke 19:17. And the Bible says this, and he said unto them, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. That's an inheritance. We're talking about inheritance. And again, I am not implying here, folks, that you have to work to stay saved. I am not implying that you have to work to be saved, but you should work because you are saved. You should look at that cross, what our Lord and Savior did, and say, you know, I got a joy to serve Him because of what He did for me. That's the least we can do as born-again believers. So we see that. And we're saved through grace by faith for what? To do good works. Ephesians 2:10 says this, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had made before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice that. Now, is Ephesians a Pauline epistle? Of course it is. Is it for you? Is it today for doctrine? Of course it is. It's also practically used. Now, when we look at Bible verses, we look at it practically, doctrinally, and historically. So we hit on two points, doctrinally and practically. So it does apply for today. So we should be compelled to do good works while we claim to be Christians. Jesus spoke about laying up treasures in heaven in Matthew 6:20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do it corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Notice that. Did He say lay up treasures here on earth? He said lay them up in heaven. Because I don't care what you do here. It's great, man. You got a retirement. I get all that. But what are we focused on? And I do believe that when the rapture does happen, we got to have some Christians going up feet first. Because they want to hold on to everything down here. I truly believe that. But to know, to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, from Jesus. You know, to me, I don't think anything can beat that. That right there is like, well done. Well done. But then I think about the other side of the coin. Here I am standing at attention. Maybe I'll have my dress blues on. I don't know. And there's my Lord and Savior, the supreme justice, the supreme commander. And He's going to say, well, let's take a look here, Frank. Let's see what you've done. Oh, man, you had your ministry. You're doing, oh man. All right, let's play the other side of the tape. Uh-oh. Ruh-roh. I think that's how it's going to be, folks. I think a lot of us will be surprised. I think we need to be careful. We need to think before we speak. One of the funniest things I see when I'm patrolling in Maryville is when we get new officers. And a lot of times they get on the mic and they don't think before they speak. And the 911 center records it. It's the funniest thing. And then you see them just, oh man, now everyone's going to know. But let me tell you something, folks. Every time you speak, God records it. Everything you say, God records. Everything you do, God records. And if you don't believe that, read the book of Numbers. Everything is jotted down. When I talk about Christian integrity, it's one of the things that I truly believe hurts the body of Christ. Nobody's looking. I can do whatever I want. Hogwash. That goes over like a pogo stick in quicksand. And I'm going to tell you right now, God sees everything. So you might be fooling people around you, but you're not fooling Him. And it's a hard thing to do, folks. Just because I'm up here preaching doesn't make me any better than anybody in here. It doesn't. It's a struggle every day. I get attacked constantly. I get attacked by people in the ministry. I get attacked by other denominations. When we go street preaching and visitation, I get hit every angle you couldn't even imagine. And you ask yourself, why is Christianity this way? I'll tell you why. Because they're in the wrong book. Many of our converts, I call them retreads, and no disrespect. I call them retreads. And the reason I call, you know, they come in from contemporary churches. And I always tell them, I give them the King James Bible, and I see them light up. They get all excited. Because they read a book they could understand. They read His Word. And they could understand this compared to the tainted NIV and all this other nonsense out there. And I always ask them, you know, contemporary, con, C-O-N. You get conned every time you walk in one of these buildings. Why do you fall for it? Because, you know, the motivational speaker up there is going to tickle your ribs and your feet. He's going to be very subtle on the palate. He knows how to float the boat and get that money. You ever notice they play all the rock music, then they pass the plate? Amazing, man. But I want you to understand that. Now look at Romans 8, 16 and 17. And the Bible says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So we are children of God once we become saved. We're in the family. That means we get an inheritance, or we lose an inheritance. See? We need to understand that. Now look at 17, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So you see there, that's dealing with an inheritance. So, but I want you to notice one thing. In that verse is, if so, we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Ephesians 1:5 says, so we are adopted children of God. So we get an inheritance because we're adopted in the family. We're in the family. But that's not automatic. I want you to notice there's a condition put on verse 17. You clearly see it in 8:17 that this is inheritance, but notice the word if. That is a condition placed on that verse. And that condition means that there's going to be some suffering involved. Now, is it easy to be a Christian? Absolutely not. But I believe if it was easy, everybody can do it. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Take your licks. Stop being onion skin, man. I can't deal with that. I can't deal with people that are so thin-skinned. Oh, he called me. You're going to get called names. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be mocked. Every family reunion I go to, I'm dealing with 90% Catholicism. And the first thing they say when I walk in, hey, here comes preacher man. Praise God. You know, here comes preacher man. And then, you know, I try to witness to some of them. You know, I had one cousin last time tell me, well, you know, Cousin Frank, I get all my information from the priest. And I saw, oh, yeah, the guy that wears the upside down pineapple on his head. And oh, yeah, and, you know, he's smiling, he's talking to me. And, you know, we give a little money here. And I said, well, be careful, because even a rattlesnake will bite, smile before he bites you. And I've seen that at Camp Lejeune. It happens. So the glorified we're talking about here is more than just getting a new body. Understand you get an inheritance. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Understand that is conditional. If we suffer with him. We may be glorified together. Again, it's a conditional phrase. If we suffer. Now, the minute I became saved, the very first thing that happened to me that I noticed was a lot of my family kind of walked away from me. They said I was a kook. Oh, he's got PTSD, man. He's just don't worry about him, you know. But that was okay, because I wondered that in my mind. And I always thought, like, well, what does that mean? What do I do? And I was talking to one pastor one day. He said, well, here's the thing. Now you got a new family. Praise God. When you're in Christ, you have a new family. And those that are not saved don't understand that. They don't get it. So you have to help them understand. But I want you to look at Colossians 3, 23, 24, and 25. And I want you to notice the context here is going to be works, not salvation. Folks, if we're there and we're at the judgment seat of Christ, we're saved. We are there. But I want you to understand something here. Look right there in Colossians 3:23. Again, that is a Pauline epistle. That applies today for doctrine and also the practical side of it. Now notice what it says here. And whatsoever ye do. That's a work. That's a work. Do it heartily. That is a work. As to the Lord and not unto men. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school. Who cares what man thinks? Who cares? Let's think about what the Lord thinks about it. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of what? The inheritance. That's from your works. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But notice the other side of the billboard now. But he that doeth wrong, that is a work, shall receive for the wrong which he had done. That is a work. That is the collateral damage of a work. And there is no respect of persons. So we clearly see that verse 23 said the reward of inheritance. It is a earned reward. And notice that it is singular. It is singular because it's making it different from the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ, those rewards are plural. They're not singular. When we talk about land, that's singular. So we want to make sure we understand that you got the millennial time period, and you want to understand that there's a judgment seat of Christ. There is a difference in what you can gain and what you can lose as a born-again believer. I once had a guy in our ministry say, well, you know what, Brother Frank, I don't mind sitting in the back of the class. I don't have to get anything. I'll sit right there in the back. I'm used to that. Okay, that's what you say now. But wouldn't you like to be on a horse following our Lord and Savior to the Battle of Armageddon with a white robe on, following him to the Supreme Commander and engaging in battle? Let me tell you something, folks. I've been in the back of an Amtrak. I've been in gunships. I'd much rather be on a white horse riding, following my Supreme Commander than what I was in before. Because I know that battle I'm going to win. So we have to understand this. So the inheritance is spoken of as a reward. This has to do with something that you earn by service. The inheritance is, again, it's a singular reward. It's earned by suffering for Christ. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Did you catch that? We shall reign with him. That's the millennial time period, folks. We shall reign with him. Something we need to look at. But remember, we read in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Means that you're not going to get those cities. Means that you're probably going to be in the rear with the gear, watching everybody else get their cities. Now, again, some people look at that as, who cares, I'm there anyway. I think it's going to be a little different. I once heard a pastor say that the judgment seat of Christ, when the rewards come, it'll be like a man in his house, and he built it 30, 40 years, he put all this work into it, and it catches fire, and it goes up in smoke, and he runs out. I believe that's how it's going to be. We can sit here, and we can say it won't bother us. I guarantee it's going to bother you. And if you like if you like to have front row seats to first place winners, you go right ahead. But that's, I don't think, how God intended it. He said you are commissioned to do good works. And again, these works are not to keep your salvation. These works are intended to keep you on this side of the hedge, because God knows that we're going to sin. And he knows if he doesn't give us the Pauline epistles and the doctrine for today, we're going to deviate from the training plan. And one thing I do know is when you deviate from the training plan, someone gets hurt or killed. I know that. That's a fact. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Again, that has nothing to do with salvation. You're going to suffer when you're doing what the Bible tells you to do. And consider that a blessing, folks. If you're not suffering, I implore you to take a spiritual pulse and see where you're at in your walk. If you're running with the world, things are going to be all peachy, crimson and clover, right? Hey, man, you know, everything's cool. You know, like one of the guys said, man, I'm cool like that, Frank. Okay, well, be cool like that. But God intended for us to do more. And again, this is not works to stay saved, okay? This is not works to become saved. This is works because we are saved. Very important we understand that. Very important. Now, please go to 2 Corinthians 5:8. We're going to start hitting on the judgment seat of Christ. So we talked about the millennial time period. We talked about the cities that our inheritance that we can gain or we can lose, depending on what we do. So I want you to look at this Bible verse. Verse number 8 says, we are confident. So there's no insecurity in that verse. The Bible says we are confident. No doubt. No second opinion. God says it. We believe it. When I became saved, I didn't understand the whole Bible, but I know it was true. I believed it. And we have to understand. So we know we're starting right off the bat. We're confident. No doubt. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. That is a great thing for a believer. That's one of the verses I use when I do funerals, if I know they were believers. knowing that our last breath here is going to be our first breath up there in heaven, knowing that we're going to be with the one we loved, the one we prayed to, the one we sung to, the one that took our sins on his account. Imagine that. That is going to be the day. That is like, wow. So we're confident that's going to happen. But I want you to notice verse number 9. It says, wherefore we labor. Uh-oh. Brother Frank, you're talking about works again. It says it right in the Bible. Wherefore we labor, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, as you were, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Did you catch that? It says, if we labor. What's your labor like? What's your labor like? I know I got a lot of work to do. Like my daughter says, man, Dad, you're a work in progress. Yeah, I agree. I know I am. I am. I get it. Hey, man, look, I'll be the first one to tell you. But it's a struggle, isn't it? The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The conformity comes from the outside in. It's that pressure. I don't know if I got any divers in here. Remember when you were diving and you go to about 33 feet, that's the first ATM, and you get that pressure pushing on you. Then you go another 30 feet. Man, it's now things are hurting. That's the conformity that the world has on the outside that pushes in. But it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation comes from the inside out. So what's in here is pushing that conformity out. The problem is, what are you letting in? Which one's winning? Which struggle? Is it the conforming? Are you conforming? Well, my homies are here, so I'm going to conform a little bit. You know, it's cool. It ain't cool. Make a stand. And if they're really your homies, they'll understand. And they'll love you even more. So we see that. So we have to be careful. But notice verse number 10. It says, for we must all appear before what? Uh-oh. The judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be what? Good or bad. Uh-oh. It's like my daughter used to say when I was just little, when she'd get in trouble, she'd always go, uh-oh. So I copied that from her. But I want you to understand that, good or bad. And I want you to also notice that we are dealing with born-again, bona fide saved people here. We're not talking about the lost. We are talking about born-again believers. No excuses. No excuses. So we see that. So the judgment seat of Christ determines what? The rewards of the servant. Bad works in this life are burnt up as lost rewards. The terror of the fire at the judgment should persuade believers to serve the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. Faithfully. Not on your time. Full time. 24/7. When you wake up, when you wake up every morning, you should be thinking about God like, all right, how am I going to serve him today? And folks, look, we're all called to do different things. I know that. Not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone's called to teach. And it takes a lot of work. But here's what I do know. If I want my house painted, Brother Mike, because I tried painting my house. Wow. I should have had a little kid do it. It would have done a lot better. I was all over the place. When I want to talk about structure, I call Brother Simon. Wow. I sometimes have to tell a man, slow down a little bit, you know. But it's amazing. Everybody has a different talent. And even within whatever you do, you can serve God. You can serve God one way or another. Not everyone's called to do every teach or preach or go out and stand and hold signs. That's a tough thing to do. But I do also believe that you have opportunity to try to share the Lord in one way or another. We sometimes go to a gas station and we just ask people, hey, can we pray with you? And most of the times they're pretty cool. Okay, yeah, you know, fine. Sometimes you get the ones like, go away. Okay, fine, whatever. Bible says you have to suffer a little bit. But in 1 Corinthians 3, notice the thing here is to do with rewards. It's plural. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8 says this. Now that he planteth and watereth are one, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Then he starts and he says in verse 13, every man's work, again, works, And none of this stuff is by grace. I want you to understand that. When you read these verses, we're not talking about salvation and grace here. We're talking about your works as you walk this earth claiming to be a born-again believer, that there's going to be accountability. So before you key the mic and speak, think about what you're going to say. Brother Joe covered something I thought was great. He said, don't flock to the gossip. I love that. Because it's true. How many oftentimes do we talk to a brother or a sister? Oh, you know, I don't want to say nothing, but, you know, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. As a matter of fact, I preached in Arizona a couple months ago, and I was sitting up there going over my message, praying, and the people behind me, it was just pure gossip about a couple in the church that was going through a divorce. I said, okay. So I just did fire. I changed my message. And I'm going to tell you something. The looks I got from that pew, I had that thousand-yard stare look. Praise God. Yeah. And then after I preached, the pastor took me out, and I was talking to him. And he said, yeah, that needed to be preached here, brother. And I said, well, what are you doing? Sometimes you got to step on them toes, folks. You do. But that's what this pulpit's about. It's about sometimes you got to bring people back in, because you get so caught up in the world out there, don't realize how far you are till it's too late. This is why God gave us his word. But every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because he shall receive, it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That's not an inheritance now. We spoke about the inheritance earlier. We're talking about a reward that you could receive. Rewards, which is plural, when you walk with the Lord. When you build your foundation on the Lord Jesus Christ and not your own foundation, you'll stand the test. But it's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to get off track. Verse 14, it says, if any man's work abides, that which had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Again, not the reward of an inheritance. These are different rewards. Multiple rewards here for multiple works. Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now you see that. That's the verse that the Catholics like to use for purgatory. Now, there are two men in the Bible that picture both these things we've studied. First man is Esau, and the second man is Lot. What you read there about Lot is he lost everything in the fire. Lost everything he had in the fire, and the fire never touched him. That's a Christian whose works go up in fire at the judgment seat of Christ, and he gets no reward for his works. Perfect picture for us today. To look at it practically and say, ooh, there's more meaning to it than I thought. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. 3:12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The other man I'm going to talk about is Esau. And Esau comes in too late to get a blessing and says, has thou a blessing, even a blessing for me, O my father? And look what the Bible says about Esau and that blessing. Come to Hebrews 12, if you would. Esau is a picture of a carnal Christian who loses the inheritance. Lot is a picture of a carnal Christian who loses his rewards. Look around verse 15. 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of the bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Hebrews 12:16 says, lest there be any fornicator, profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. 17 says, "For ye know now how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." So that thing has to do with a literal physical blessing on the ground of the crops that Jacob would have got, right? But what happened? He sold it. Esau sold it. So we have to understand, we have two men. You have Lot depicting a born-again believer at the judgment seat of Christ, losing his rewards, everything going up in smoke. And we have Esau losing his land because he sold it outright. He disobeyed God. Two ways of looking for the inheritance and the judgment seat of Christ. So at the judgment seat of Christ, all kinds of works are put up there. The ones that have the right motive behind them. And here's a good saying. It says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's a great way to look at it. The motive behind that work will put it through the fire. It will go through the fire like gold, silver, precious stones. If the motive isn't right, it becomes wood, hay, and stubble, and it burns up. How much shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works? What is wood? Wood's a dead tree. What is hay? It's dead grass. What is stubble? It's dead wheat. So all that stuff is dead. So all the stuff that you've done for Christ, and you're trying to work hard for Christ, I'm in church, I darken the threshold of the church house. Every time the lights are on, I'm in there. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But let's look, what's about the other side? What about this other stuff that you're doing that offsets that? The Bible says that a false balance is an abomination to God. So when you stand in front of him at the judgment seat of Christ, and he starts playing the tape, rolling the tape, are you going to be embarrassed? Are you going to say, oh boy, I should have thought before I said that. I should have thought before I did that. I hear it a lot in our ministry. I deal with a lot of Baptists, ex-Baptists that are coming back. And one thing that they always tell me, Baptists shoot their wounded. They shoot their wounded. And in Marine Corps, we always had a saying that you leave no one behind. You bring them in. You bring them in. Even if it costs your life, you never leave a brother out there. And there are times when we saw that and we had to move on it. It's the same thing in your Christian walk, folks. If you see a brother starting to fall back, man, get over there and bring him in. And it's a hard thing to do, and sometimes they're thick-headed. They are, and they don't want to hear it. They become rebellious. They don't want to hear it. But folks, don't leave a brother behind. I don't care what they're doing. God's a God of grace. If he can forgive me for what I did, and like I said, when I came to the Lord, and he pulled me out of that nasty mold, and he shook me, he says, oh, I got to shake this one a little more. Because I had a lot of filth, folks. And if he forgave me, I could at least do that for a brother that might be fallen. But man, we're ready to shoot our wounded, aren't we? We're ready to start attacking that person that's down. And we wonder why we lose members. That's one of my pet peeves, man. It burns me. You have to sometimes, you're going to get yelled at, and you're going to get cursed out. Man, so what? Look what the Lord did for you, man. Work with your brother. Bring him back in. Work with him. Help him. That's our job. Leave no man behind. So we clearly see you can lose rewards and you can lose your inheritance. And the two things to consider is that, first of all, is the fact that when you finally get up there and you get rejected, there's going to be some weeping. You might say, well, Brother Frank, we're going to be like Christ. I'm going to be up there. Well, Christ wept over Jerusalem, remember? There's going to be some weeping, folks. I can't stress it enough. I'm telling you. You know, when I was a kid, and I might have said this in here before, and if I did, forgive me. I've been to different places, so. But when I was a kid, I was a problem. And my mom would always yell at me. Half of it was in Spanish, half of it was in English. But I remember she finally said one day, you know, I'm tired of hitting you. I'm tired. She goes, take your right hand and put it over your right ear, so when I tell you something, it doesn't just flow through. And you know, at times as Christians, I think we're like that. It comes in here and it goes out there. But the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is likened to a double-edged sword. It's quick and it's powerful. It makes you alive, right? Dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the what? The heart. God knows your intent. When you get in front of that judgment seat of Christ, he's going to look at your motives. And he said, oh, you fooled all these other people, Brother Frank, but you're not fooling me. He's right. Hey, you got me. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to understand. He's looking. He's looking. But I want you to understand, first, I just want to make sure we understand that there is a difference between the inheritance and there is a difference between the judgment seat of Christ. We want to differentiate the two. And we also know that there's a difference at the great white throne. Will we be at the great white throne? I believe we will be, but we'll be on the right side of it. We'll be judging angels. Did you know that? Ooh, boy. Because the Bible is clear. If an angel speaks another gospel, he's accursed, right? Praise God. Think about that. So we have to understand that the way we carry ourselves as born-again believers, that we have to understand that there's going to be accountability. And I implore everybody here today, before you do something, before you say something, think about that. Before you say it, should I say that about that brother? Or should I say that about that sister? Or should I run over here in the gossip corner? This is why I got to be honest with you, one of the things I don't like, and this is me, okay, is when people start putting in prayer requests, and they give like a whole spiel. Just say it's unspoken. God already knows what it is. But see, when you put your business out there, and I've heard it from different churches, what ends up happening is everyone knows your business. And I'm going to tell you, as a man is born into sin, as a spark flies upward, we will sin, and we will engage in gossip. How about just saying unspoken? How about just saying I have an unspoken? Because if you don't, a lot of times, those people will never look at you the same. They're always going to remember what you say. Ooh, yeah, that's the one over there. You know, God's grace, God forgives. Man has a problem with that. Don't give too much intel, man. But again, we're talking about born-again believers. And here in the passage that we read, every born-again believer is going to give an account of the work done in the body, whether it be good or bad. So the people at the judgment seat of Christ, they've been saved, they're in the body. And when the rapture happens, it's closed. Different time period. Uh-oh, now the tribulation starts, and you better hope you go up. Because if you got to stay here for the tribulation, oh boy. Oh boy, it's not going to be good. But we know as born-again believers, our sin has been imputed at Calvary. You judge yourself down here, and you stay in fellowship with the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, it's not doctrinally for today, but we can bring it in practically, because if there's one thing we can do as born-again believers, is lose our fellowship with Christ. And the way you restore it is by confessing what you've done and saying, Lord, get it out of my life. Get this trash out of my life. And let me restore my fellowship with you. It's a hard thing to do. A lot of times in ministry, guys, I counsel a lot of people and they tell me this and they tell me that. And I always tell them one thing. Look, man, you're not going to get rid of the rats in your life till you get rid of the trash in your life. And when the trash goes, the rats go. When you make a stand for Christ, the rats will run. And it's a hard thing to do sometimes. So you judge yourself down here. You go through trials and tribulations. Again, Romans 8:20 says, and we know that the things work together for good that love them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. That's a tough verse. When you see what our pastor is going through, you think about that verse, and you go, Lord, how can this work together for good? Or maybe you've been diagnosed with a real bad disease. Or maybe there's some things happening in your life, and you say, man, how is this possible, Lord? How is this going to work together for the good? But here's what I do know. We saw it in the inheritance. There's suffering involved. There's suffering involved. When you stand, make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and you try to walk with him, suffering's going to come with it. Consider it a blessing. Consider it knowing that you're doing the right thing. That's why one of the things I say at a funeral, may they rest in peace. Because that person's in peace because they don't have to deal with this conforming to the world anymore. It's over. It's done. And that's one assurance that we have. So we have to understand, when we talk about gold, silver, and precious stones, that has to do with something good. And wood, hay, and stubble, that winds up getting burnt up at the judgment seat of Christ. So we have the inheritance that we covered. So you understand there's a difference there. And you have the rewards, crowns, rewards, gold, silver, precious stone. Now I'm going to put a bow on it now. Psalm 45 says, you're sewing together a white raiment. The saints are given there in Revelation chapter number 3, a white raiment. Why is that white raiment important? Because every time you're doing something for Christ, every time you're making a stand, every time that you're suffering, you're sewing another thread around that white raiment to put on you. But sometimes we tend to go the other way and we start to unwind it, depending on what side you want to go. Again, either you conform or you transform. The Bible's very clear. And I do believe God did this for us, not only to keep us safe, but it keeps us on this side of the hedge. It keeps us from ruining our testimony. It keeps some accountability going on. And we need that, folks. Accountability is huge, and people don't like it. I'll tell you right now, man, when it comes to accountability, oh boy, here they come. Well, why do we got, I call them Eeyores. Why do we got to do that? I'm saved, ain't I? Well, if it hurts you that much, you might want to reconsider that. Rethink. In the Marine Corps, we used to always say, clear your mind and your blessed assurance will follow. And you clear your mind with his written word, the King James 1611 Bible, the true word, the only word that will keep us safe and will keep us on this side of the hedge. All right, let's bow to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just can't thank you enough for your word. I can't thank you enough, Father God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on our cross, on a cross for our sins. Father God, I just ask you if there's anybody here struggling today with making the right decisions based on the rewards and the inheritance. I pray, Father God, that through the Holy Spirit, you kind of wake them up a little bit. That you touch their hearts, Father God, and start making them think and rethink that whatever they say and whatever they do, that it will bear weight at the judgment seat of Christ. I pray, Father God, that you make us all accountable, Father God, in here, that we leave here, that you give us direction, guidance, instruction, Father God, with your word. Father God, again, we thank you so much for so much you've given us. We pray for our pastor, Father God. Please, Father God, we lift him up. We lift him up to you, Father God. Please take care of him. Please take care of his family. Help him, Father God, through this, what they're going through. Father God, again, I want to thank you, and I pray that everybody gets home safe and makes it back safe. And I pray this prayer in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.